Hey, I'm Alex.
And I'm Christina.
And we're
Poor as Shoes. Featuring
Matt. Hello.
This is our podcast.
We Want to Believe.
Where we discuss the complicated and sometimes crazy TV show,
The X-Files.
You know it.
You love it.
And now we're going to talk about it.
Welcome to episode 3 of We Want to Believe. Things are starting to get super spooky.
Yeah, it's almost Halloween.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love spooky stuff.
Yeah.
The episode that we're going to talk about today is called Squeeze.
What if Tombs is some kind of 20th century genetic mutant?
Yeah.
And I like to think of it as a tube of toothpaste.
Okay. You want to elaborate on that? Or
no.
Okay.
I think that it'll come more clear into view as we move forward.
Okay.
And talking about it.
Well, I believe that, who won the 30-second recap from last week?
It was a very, very, very obvious win for Matt last week. And this week, I'm so excited because I get to be the person that judges the 30-second recap, and I've been a competitor in it the last 2 times.
Right.
So this is a very special moment for me, so I'm just going to live it up, soak it in, enjoy every moment.
You know what? I'm actually, like, less prepared for, like, not that I really prepared for it last week, but last week I watched the episode 2, like, a few days before we did the podcast, and I was like, yeah, fuck it, like, whatever, I'll just go and say a whole bunch of things, and then it turned out really well, and this week I watched the episode, like 2 hours ago, and I'm already forgetting, like, everything that happened in it.
The only thing that I need somebody to give me their timer, because I don't...
Got it.
The Apple one doesn't allow 30 seconds, which is, like, what I've just realized is a very silly feature. Apple.
Really?
Rethink this shit. Look.
Oh.
It's like, you can't go under 1 minute.
But, oh, I see, like, 56 minutes as opposed to... That's
so strange. Like, I could do a stopwatch, but then it wouldn't ding, so then it wouldn't have the same effect. Okay, so does Matt go first because he's the reigning champ?
Yeah, or? I think he does.
I think that's what we decided last week.
Oh, no.
Because it gives the person who goes second a better chance.
A fighting chance.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Alright, let's...
Let's hear it, Matty Cakes.
Wait, Matt, you go first?
Yeah.
Okay, so Matt's about to do his 30-second recap of Season 1, Episode 3, Squeeze. Ready, set... Go.
Okay, so a businessman dies, and then in a locked room, and then the X-Files credits, and then a sexy business lunch with Douchebag, and Mulder and Scully decide to help out Douchebag to figure out how this businessman gets murdered. They find out it's this dude who can, like, stretch his body in weird, stupid shapes, and then they don't believe Mulder. There's lots of, like, spooky Mulder business. And then it turns out Mulder is right in the end.
That was interesting.
See, I just wasn't feeling it this week. Couldn't do it.
Matt's having an off week. Okay, Christina, you could take the W on this.
Yeah. No pressure.
It's anyone's game at this point. Okay, ready, set, go.
Businessman gets murdered. Scully has lunch with Bill Pullman. He says, oh no, I have a murder, a rash spree, if you will. They figure out that it's a guy who has really long fingers and can squeeze through vents, and they bring in Scully and Mulder. This is not the order of events. Anyways, then they give him a lie detector test. Turns out he's been alive forever and that he lives in a nest of bile and rags, and he can squeeze his body, and he attacks Scully in the bathroom, and Mulder saves her, and then that's all you really need to know.
That was pretty good.
Guys. That's a toughie.
You know why this was hard to do is because it was such a spooky episode.
Yeah.
But it was like a slow roll.
It was a way different episode than any of the ones we've done previously.
Yeah.
Like, so it was pretty hard to sum up.
The first two episodes, I feel like so many weird, crazy things happened that like you're just kind of going one by one by one. Yeah. But this one was a very, like, more methodical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And arguably, this episode is the first episode that kind of has an end. It has a resolution. So it's like, in describing it, you kind of had to actually, like, get to the part where they actually figure out what the deal is.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's a tough choice, but I'm giving this win to Christina. You're the best around.
Nothing's going on. Well deserved.
Yeah.
Well deserved.
Thank you. Feels really good. I got a win in fantasy football this week.
Ooh.
And I got a win in podcast.
I take it back.
Sorry, Matt. I take it back. You know what?
It feels good to be. I only won at softball, so I'm just really winning this week.
Yeah.
I'm great.
Yeah, Matt, you got a home run, didn't you?
Oh, that's right. I did hit a home run.
Matt hit a home run, and it was great. I was there, and I saw it, and it was glorious.
And the biggest winner is me, because I get to have you both as friends.
Yeah, you're the lucky one here.
You are the lucky one.
That was a tough choice, because you both did a really good job, but neither of you got to the real end.
Christina was close.
I know, maybe
Christina
if I close. Didn't freaking justify the order of the things I was saying, then, like, possibly...
You wasted time.
But I kind of actually forgot to be real with you for a second, but I would like to fill it in what happens, if I may.
Let's talk more about it.
Let's do it.
Okay, do you want to go from the top, or do you want to go from the bottom, or the middle?
Let me go from the top.
Okay, so one thing that I thought was, who's brewing the coffee at 8:30 at night for this businessman who gets murdered? Because there's nobody else there.
I did not even notice that. I totally noticed that.
And I was like, that's really weird.
That is weird.
But
it doesn't matter.
It's a good point, though.
His last name, or he was calling somebody, and
his wife
mm-hmm. but their last name is Usher, and I just wrote down House of Usher.
The Ushers.
David Usher. Yeah.
But he was just like this sweet family man who's having like a tough day. Oh, things didn't go well at work, and I'm gonna have to work late now.
Like, you could tell he wasn't even lying. Like, it wasn't like he was like having an affair. Yeah. It was like he legit had a bad day at work.
He sounded so sad. He was like, please call me. Like, so
I'm
depressing.
Sad.
But we also, like, one of the first things we see is like Tombs in the sewer. We see his like weird yellow eyes, and it made me think of Pennywise as a clown, and that really freaked me out.
I know. I was like, I think they want us to think there's something wrong with the sewer, because they were really focusing, and then he was down there.
Like, we all float down here.
And it's like super weird sneak attack. And also, like, the music is very creepy in this episode.
They really found their stride, I guess you could call it, like, with regards to the soundtrack, I think. It was such a scary fucking episode.
Yeah, and then, so, like, that's the intro, and then Scully meets up with her old classmate, the huffiest guy.
Turns out his name's Colton. I thought for 1 second that was Bill Pullman. It's not.
Mm-mm. It's not.
Bill Pullman.
It's Bull Pullman, I believe his name is. They're kind of, like, making it kind of seem like there's a little bit of a spark between them, and they're feeding each other's egos quite a bit.
Both just eating plates of vegetables for lunch, which I thought was extremely horrible. What a bad lunch
for a dude who, like, seems like he's super alpha. Mm-hmm. That's not an alpha lunch, you know.
No,
not an alpha lunch at all.
This guy is like the huffiest, most like egotistical, like classy example of a white dude that ever existed. He's just such a fucking stereotype. Like, it really is something that this show needs, I feel.
I find all the side characters, all the dude side characters in the show are just, like, alpha douchebags.
Yep.
Oh my god, like, yeah. There's that one reoccurring one later on.
Yeah.
The super soldier guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Fucking dick that guy is.
But even, like, the sheriff in the first episode is just, like, very alpha. Yeah. Like, ugh.
And the next episode, there's also, like, there's just, like, a bunch of dudes who are just, like, women need help, and, like, I don't know, it's just all such
and they're all very, like, crap. Territorial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, this is my town, or, like, this is my case, or, like,
yeah,
whatever.
And honestly, like, I'm, it must be said that that's actually pretty true to life.
I always think of, although I always think of Scully's friend Colton here, like the actor, he's in Blade.
Oh, really? He's in Blade. I didn't know that.
I always think of that movie when I see him in it.
He just seems like the most, just...
He plays such a wiener, too.
Yeah, he just seems like a classic wiener, and that seems like maybe it's his personality in real life.
Classic tiny wiener.
So he goes to Scully Sigourney because he's
like... Sigourney Wiener, exactly.
Can that please be a thing that we just say on the
Mr.
show
Mr. Sigourney Wiener.
Yeah.
I liked Bull Pillman.
Bull Pillman is also going to be another
Bull
name.
Bull Pillman. Wiener. He goes to Scully because he's like, straight up, I need your help because someone's just grabbing livers out of people's bodies, like left, right, and center, and I just don't know what to make of that.
Liverectomy.
And then he calls her Mrs. Spooky,
which I thought I did not appreciate that
at all.
But that was so typical of him.
Yeah, what a dick.
Yeah.
Of Bull Pillman. That was so something he would say. Yeah. But in this, it's kind of a really cool occurrence is that Scully finds her first X-File. This is the first X-File that she discovers.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, she doesn't discover it, but she brings it back. Like, she brings it to Mulder's attention, who figures out that it is an X-File. And, like, she wants to get involved, but Bull Pillman is like, don't involve Spooky Mulder. We don't want him in on this. And she obviously has mixed feelings about that.
I think it's also the first time that we see Scully defend Mulder, and he's not there. So we are starting to see, like, a building of the bond between them. I guess we can talk about that later.
They are ride or die.
Yeah.
Like, this by this point, you're like,
But then, Scully goes to Mulder to tell him about it, and at first she's kind of dancing around his feelings and trying to protect him, and she's like, they don't really want you involved. And then she just kind of like gets real with him and she's like, they think you're not fucking credible at all.
Yeah.
And then he's like, do you think I'm spooky?
I love a lot of Mulder's lines in this. Like, a lot of his one-liners are so great. Like, you can tell that he's just used to this. So whenever people like come up to him and they're like, we want your help, but we don't really want your help, he's just such a bitch about it. But like, but in a good way. Like, he's just so, like, that whole bit where he's like, oh, yeah, Colton's like, what do you think, Mulder? Was it Little Green Men? He's like, gray, actually. The reticulums are, they're gray-skinned, and they're here for our onions and, like, fucking whatever else.
Their livers, they have an iron deficiency.
Yeah, he's like, do you know what livers go for in the reticulum galaxy? I'm like,
you said green men. A reticulant's skin tone is actually gray. They're notorious for their extraction of terrestrial human livers.
And Colton's like, I fucking knew it. But at the same point, it just further proves everyone's bias about him and that he's fucking weird as fuck, because that's a weird thing to say
to somebody. It's a weird thing to say. Yeah. I agree. So he's in their crime scene. He finds fibers on the ground. For some reason, automatically assumes that they came from the air vent. Honestly, when I'm watching this, I'm like, they're on the floor.
He's like,
the air vent is up here. I don't really understand what the logic is there. But that's, I guess, Mulder logic that we can talk about later.
He's like, that's a 6-inch vent, Mulder. And I just fully expected Mulder to turn around and be like, well, that's 4 inches bigger than your dick, Colton.
But Mulder would never stoop so low. No. True. He would be like, he would say something about aliens instead.
He's thinking it. Then he immediately finds a fingerprint.
But what kind of fingerprint is it? It's not a normal run-of-the-mill fingerprint.
It's pretty long.
And he should stick out in a crowd with 10-inch fingers.
It's an oblong fingerprint.
It belongs to a 10-inch finger, which, like, well, hello.
Hello. And then he ends up linking it to 10 other murders, and they're old-timey murders.
He's like, well, see? There's some old-timey murders, see? From the 1960s, see?
Yeah.
It's like five murders every 30 years or something like that.
Yeah.
With long-ass fingerprints.
Yeah. And, I thought this was like an LOL, such a burn. Scully says something like, no one wants to hear your theories, and that's why you're stuck down here in the X-Files. And he says, you're down here too. What a burn! She doesn't even have anything to say back to that.
She just sort of like glances away. Like,
she just huffs and is like, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go stake out some fucking locations.
Yeah.
So they go back to the scene of the crime, even though Mulder's like, don't be stupid. He's not going to be back here.
No.
But then the vents are alive with the sound of tombs.
Yeah.
Genetic mutant.
And Scully almost like shoots Mulder.
That's true. He's just like strolling through the parking garage, eating sunflower seeds.
What, he's who like, is what he, up? Ace Ventura? Yeah, like, I don't
know. What up, Scully?
You wouldn't shoot an unarmed man, would you, copper?
Mulder, what the hell are you doing here?
What are you doing down here? Sitting in the Oldsmobile on a stakeout? You want some sunflower seeds? No?
No, you good?
You good? You good? Cool. Well, I'm going home, so what you're doing is dumb. Bye.
And then, turns out.
Yeah. They find old Toomsy in the air vents, and they take him down to the station to take a lie detector test. Yeah,
this is our first introduction to this Toomes character, who is creepy as fuck.
Fucking so
very
creepy.
Very moist.
Yes.
He's not a good looking. It's scary.
Yeah, he's just sweaty and
super damp
and scary and evil, and has like a really strong eye contact situation happening.
Breathing through his mouth all the time.
Like, the polygraph tester just seems super judgmental. Like, she is fully looking at him like she's not impartial to the situation, you can tell. And he passes it with seemingly flying colors. One of the questions is, are you over 100 years old?
Yeah, and they were like, how'd that question get in there? And Mulder's like, I snuck it in.
They're like, that must be a control question.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great question.
Mulder's like, uh-uh, this is the real fucking deal. Then he gets let go. James is...
Because they're like... he passed the lie detector test, which, like, lie detectors have become not even admissible in court. Like, they can be tricked. And obviously, if you can hibernate for 30 years and then snatch livers out of people's bodies, you're probably a really good liar.
Genetic mutant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, so...
You've been doing it.
But he did fail, yeah. Like, he did fail the...
100-year-old question.
The 100-year-old question. And whatever question 13 was, which they don't elaborate on, maybe it was about eating livers. I don't remember now.
Yeah, but something about harvesting livers or the murders that happened in 1933 or whatever those ones were.
They couldn't have picked a more perfect, like, creep, though. Like, the guy, the actor, Doug Hutchison, is married to Courtney Stodden or whatever.
Oh, my God. That's him?
That's the guy.
Oh,
my God. He's so scary. God.
So he's creepy just like that in real life.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Doug Hutchison married Courtney Stodden while he was like in his 50s and she was 17.
He's just a dude. He's creepy.
He's just yucky.
Yeah. She had to get her parents' permission. Like, like legal permission for her to marry him. Like, that's so fucked. That's so weird.
It's very weird.
I don't like that.
No.
So
he's gross and also in The Green Mile, but more so
he's
gross.
He's so scary in this show. He's so scary.
Yeah.
So, like, then this is kind of around the point where Mulder solves the case by click, 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 stretching a fingerprint.
Yeah.
He's like, he does the thing that you're never supposed to do with an image, which is fuck with the aspect ratio. Don't do that shit.
Yeah.
But Mulder, he's a rebel. He's like, what if I drag it so that it's really skinny and long?
Yeah.
And then it's a perfect match.
So Toomes is the long-fingered weirdo.
Genetic mutant.
And then he thinks that the only logical thing to do now is go visit the detective who worked the 1960s murders and see what he has to say.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. But before that...
Oh.
Toomes kills a dude.
Yeah. The next victim about to die because peeping Toomes is outside the window... creeping.
He's crawling up the side of the building like a weird Spider-Man.
And going down the chimney like a fucking Santa.
Yeah. I actually wrote that down.
I know. Yeah. I did. I wrote Spider-Man down too. I'm like, who is he? Spider-Man? And then I'm like, who is
he's
Santa?
Santa. Yeah. A weird, like, gross. A
weird, moist Santa.
He really is.
Spider-Man.
He's stretchy.
Santa Man.
I watched this show as a kid too. So, like, this really makes me think about. It probably gave me a Santa complex of being afraid of Santa because he goes down the chimney and it's so creepy. Anyways, yeah, then there's like fucking Bull Pillman is back just being like You're off this case and stay away from my fucking shit. And it's the same old song
and dance. He's such a dick.
He's like,
such
an asshole. Look, Dana, whose side are you on? And she's like, the victims.
Yeah. Justice. What about you, Colton?
Colton is like, honestly, that like frat house dude who desperately wants to be cool and like tease pledges and stuff, but then ends up super gluing his hand to his own dick. Like, he's just this dude who like tries too hard.
What a specific example.
I don't know
if that's supposed to make me feel sorry for him, but it does not.
No, it's not. It's just like, he's an idiot.
He's an idiot.
Part of an idiot organization doing idiot things.
He does not understand how people work, how life works. He is just in his fucking Bull Pillman world. And that's when Mulder takes a trip to the archives to figure out stuff about old-timey tombs.
Oh.
And that's when he finds that cop and he goes to visit him.
So they go see him and the guy's like, I never seen anything like this, because who just rips out people's livers? It makes me really scared and it totally haunts me to this day. And here's a picture of him. And wouldn't you know,
it's Tombs.
It's Toomey.
It's Mr. Eugene Toomey.
Toomey Tombs.
Looking exact same.
Genetic mutant.
I have a question, though. Like, so, aside from the picture that he gives them, he's like, also, he takes this, and he just hands them a fucking piece of liver that he's kept in a jar. Oh. Not even refrigerated. He's just like...
We've all been there.
He's just like, oh, he also did this. And it's like, why do you have this? Like, I understand it's evidence or whatever. Like, you felt like you need to keep it maybe, but why wouldn't you keep it in the fridge? Like, why do you just have it in a box in a trunk under your bed?
It's dried out.
Like,
that's gross.
This is weird. It's pretty sickening.
It's a weird thing. But like him, Tombs also likes to keep little trophies, and that's a tidbit that we find out from this old dude.
Oh, yeah. And then they find out also that he still lives at the same apartment from Time.
And they go to it. It's on Exeter.
From Time.
From Time. They go see him on Exeter Avenue or whatever the fuck it's called, and as soon as they walk in, they go, whoa.
You can feel it.
Feels creepy as fuck in here.
And they go into the cellar.
They go through this random hole in the wall that's behind a mattress.
Ugh. Yeah, Scully takes the first of many, like, volunteer plunges into the dank, as you will see throughout this fucking series. Anytime something weird happens, Scully's like, well, fuck, I'll go. I'll do it.
I'll just put my foot through this wall.
Yeah, I'll just do it.
And inside of the wall, they find, like, a weird whole fucking, I don't know, other room of creepiness where they find a bunch of trinkets.
Yep.
Of the murders.
Yep.
Yep.
From 1930, 1960.
1903.
And today.
And there's this sick newspaper wall nest.
Yeah.
Barf City. And
it's made Scully of... What is it made of?
She says it's made of bile.
Newspaper and bile.
Newspaper and rags and bile.
Yeah.
And Mulder is, LOL, trying not to lose his cool exterior.
Yeah.
Is there any way I can get off my fingers quickly without betraying my cool exterior?
While he touches this weird-ass fucking bile.
Because Mulder doesn't respect the scientific method, which is like, don't touch it. Like, do not touch or smell things.
Yeah.
When you were a scientist and you don't know what a thing is, just don't do it.
You get a sample, you put it under the microscope.
That's right.
You don't subject your body to it.
You gotta waft it. You waft the smell. You don't just put your face into it.
It's really sick.
They're like, this is the opening. Should we go inside? It's like, how the fuck are you gonna go inside this tiny opening full of bile?
Yeah.
That's gross.
And it's so gross.
So now we know some stuff. We know that this Tombs guy likes to collect trophies from the livers he extracts. And then he takes Scully's necklace.
Because he's hanging from the rafters like a fucking bat.
They don't even notice. She's like, oh, I'm caught on something. And then
JK's
just like,
a hand.
Oh, no, wait, I got it. Like, you're caught on something, but the thing that you're caught on is your necklace.
And
it's around your neck. Like, I'm caught on something and I'm choking now.
Ugh.
But I don't think to investigate what that might be.
But now we know that Scully's in danger.
Yeah.
She's in danger.
You in danger,
then they go back, but like, fucking Bull Pillman has called the whole thing off because he's like, I'm huffy and I have a big ego and you're not going to take this shit away from me. And she like kind of burns him, but he's still really sweaty and huffy and whatever.
Is this what it takes to climb the ladder? Is this it? And he's like, you're damn right it does. She's like, well, I can't wait till you fall on your ass.
Like, and he's just like, well, I'm st- still gonna use my power to want to do what
I never.
I'm still male and white, so
I'm the call.
Sure things will turn out okay for me.
Yeah, and then like she's fucking drawing herself a bath.
My favorite theme of the series.
Yes. Mulder is in the wrong
bathroom.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. This is exactly what we've been waiting for. We want this shit to fucking go down. Like, draw yourself a bath. You deserve it. But at the same time, you're in trouble. Mulder is in the wrong place.
But he's actually in the right place because he goes back to the nest and he sees Scully's necklace. So now he knows Scully's in danger.
Yeah. Yeah. She's drawing herself a bath, and all I'm thinking is it's a perfect place for a liverectomy. The bathtub.
Yeah.
Not that Toombs fucking gives a shit.
He doesn't give a fuck about location.
Again, this is also like one of the many moments where Scully gets attacked in her own home in this series.
Yeah, I don't know how this lady feels safe anywhere, because every safe place she ever has just fully gets so violated, and she just gets attacked like very regularly.
And I'm thinking, like, who pays for the damages? Does the FBI? Because, like, she gets fucked up in her house.
Yeah.
They cut the fucking phone wires. The phone company's gonna have to come and fix that, but who's paying for it? It's not her dime.
Not the 1,000-year-old, you know, immortal Bileman.
No. Probably. Like, who's fucking paying for that shit? And then it's, like, one of those moments, and it reminds me of, like, the first Harry Potter movie, when like when Fluffy the three-headed dog, they're like trying to get into like the trap door, and then all of a sudden like Ron just has like slobber on his face, and he's like, ugh, yuck. And then he looks up, and there's just like fully like the dog is awake, and that's like what Scully in her bathroom, and bile drops on her, and she's like, ugh.
Liverman.
And she just looks up, and it's dripping from the fucking vent.
Liverman just leaking fluids all over Scully. Sick. All over.
That's so sick.
Really gross. So then her and Toombs get into a bit of a scuffle, and he just fully slithers out of her vent like an absolute creep.
Genetic mutant.
And, you know, Mulder arrives just in time.
Yeah. He does, and he's like, he's not going to get his quota this year.
He sort of saves the day, but I feel like a lot of it was like, because that was the other thing too, is they talk about how Liverman just removes people's livers, which is, he doesn't use any surgical instruments. They're like, oh, he tears people open.
Mm-hmm. With his bare hand.
With his bare hands, which is metal as fuck, but also like so gross and weird and creepy and violent, and you don't really see, like, he attacks another dude, like that dude when he comes down his chimney as Santa Claus, and he's like, here, I'm giving you the gift of me tearing your liver out. But you don't really see how he does it, but you sort of get a glimpse when he's about to attack Scully. He like does this weird thing with his hand, like,
yeah, it's like a spear hand, hand.
But it's like, how hard do you have to push with your bare hands into somebody to like just reach into their guts? It's really weird.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
But yeah, it was so weird and gross. And then, but Mulder does show up, and then it's like Scully who's like ends up saving the day, handcuffing him to the tub.
Yeah, I mean, like, they classic. Definitely kind of needed each other in that situation, but Scully was doing pretty good on her own.
Yeah.
Couldn't
he just like shrink his hand and stretch out of the handcuffs?
Good point. Why doesn't he do that?
Very good point.
Maybe he wants to be caught.
Maybe he needs to be really focused to do that. But like, I would say that it's Scully on the goal, Mulder on the assist in this case.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Good teamwork.
It was a good teamwork.
Good teamwork.
And then he like goes to a sanitarium, and like he starts making a sick ass newspaper nest in jail.
Oh, that is so gross.
There is something really unsettling about that scene where he's just licking newspaper.
Yeah. It's very sickitating.
It's very gross.
Oh, and they show that old man, and he's crying.
Because they're like, he's like, finally, he's been caught. I can die happy.
Yeah, man, this guy's been vindicated.
But then what happens?
Then there's like a slot that his meal comes into, and you know this guy's gonna get out through the slot.
Stretch his body.
So he's gonna stretch right through that little slot.
Toombs is out. He's broken out of the sanitarium.
He's gonna be back.
Yeah, he's gonna be back for show.
I do love Mulder's like kind of final words in this. He's like, all the bars, all the home security systems, you know, what's it gonna do against people like this guy?
Spending good money on high-tech security systems, trying to feel safe. I look at this guy and I think, it ain't enough.
And I was just thinking, how many, like, weird body stretching people do you think exist
you never out know. There,
Mulder?
You
never like,
know. Yeah.
I guess, but.
Possibly? Just some general thoughts about this, because mm-hmm. there's actually, like, there's a Wikipedia page about this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And just one of the pictures is just of a liver, and then the caption of it is, it says something about how Chris Carter suggested that Toombs started eating livers after he tasted foie gras.
Well, foie gras is fucking delicious.
It's the gateway drug to stealing people's livers and just eating them.
I'm uncultured. What is foie gras?
Foie gras is goose liver. But the geese are kind of treated, they're like a lot of food, force so it's really, fed. Really fatty.
They're force-fed until they until their livers are, like, so fatty, and then they die from that. And then the foie gras is, like, this, like, cured version
it's
of
really,
it. It's, like,
really good.
That's fucking horrible. What
people
do you mean
really
it's really
like
good?
To eat it. People really
it's
like terrible. To eat it.
It's really it tastes really good. It's
French
tastes
really thing. Good. So, apparently he had that, and then he started eating people's livers to survive.
Genetic mutant.
So it's very interesting. And I also thought this episode, obviously I already said at the beginning, but it's a good episode that has a resolution where they're like, oh, this is a weird guy who can be stretchy and eats livers. And now he's in a sanitarium. But it's not an episode that's about aliens or like the mm-hmm. larger picture. It's kind of more of a
Monster of the Week.
Yeah. And I appreciate these episodes.
Yeah, I really like this episode. It's one of my most favorite episodes of all time. Yeah, and I guess it comes to a resolution, but it's also open-ended in mm-hmm. terms of, like, what's gonna happen with Toombs, because he come back.
Yep.
Yeah. So when I was a kid, I never watched The X-Files. The X-Files actually terrified me.
It's really scary.
Like The X-Files theme, I would watch The Simpsons, and then The X-Files would come on, and then as soon as the theme started, I'd change the channel,
because scared the shit out of me. Me too. Like, me too. Yeah.
I couldn't handle it. So when I first got into X-Files a few years ago, I watched the first two, and I was like, okay, this is, like, interesting, whatever. But then when I watched this episode, I was like, this is fucking great. Mm-hmm. This show is awesome. It's so creepy and so, like, I don't know. It's great. Just, it was so good.
I don't know if they, like, changed the credits from the first two episodes or if I just didn't watch the credits from the first two episodes. But when I was watching it today, I watched the credits, and I was like, these credits are so fucking scary. Uh-huh. Oh my god. And I felt that same, like, I remembered perfectly being a kid and being like, this is so fucking scary, and like turning it off, wanting to turn it off.
Yeah. And this particular episode, the music is like not just the opening, but mm-hmm. like the music in the show is so creepy that it scared the fucking crap out of me. And like, I used to watch this with my sisters, and we would watch like reruns also, like late at night. We would stay up and watch them. And then after The X-Files was on, The Outer Limits would be on.
Oh,
which
yeah.
was even scarier.
Couldn't watch that either.
And we would stay up late and watch it, and we wouldn't be able to sleep because we'd be so fucking terrified. So anyways, it's actually a scary show.
Yeah.
So, Mulder logic?
I don't think it's where he lives. I think it's where he hibernates.
Hibernates?
Just listen.
Shall we?
What does spooky Mulder have to say?
Mulder logic? So there's plenty, I feel like there's plenty of points for Mulder logic to shine through, especially in the very beginning when, like, before they have really anything to go on, he's like, well, there's also this case linked to the fingerprints, and it goes back to like 1966 and 1933 and 1903, and but it's interesting because he's not really drawing any conclusions at this point. He's just saying, here's the thing,
mm-hmm.
here are the fingerprints and how far back they go. And Scully's like, are you honestly suggesting, Mulder, that this serial killer is 100 years old? He's like, I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying, you know, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
But it's funny because he even puts the caveat of like, and before 1903, we didn't really know about fingerprints. So
who knows?
Who knows how long he's been doing this for? And yeah, that's pretty good.
I agree. Like, I think, like, he's just like, these murders from 1933 prove everything. And you're like, okay. And like, also just the fact that I already mentioned this, but that he does the thing where he like stretches the fingerprint, like, I'm sorry, who thinks of that?
That's very clever. And it says a lot about how smart Mulder is in general. Like, regardless of what people think of his theories, he's like, no, like, I have these theories, but I've honestly tried to sit down and make logical Mulder logical conclusions about
Mulder things. Logical, that's what I'm saying. Like, Mulder, that's Mulder logic at its best.
Yeah.
Stretching a fingerprint.
Yeah.
And he's like, they say it's not our guy, but I'm going to make it our guy.
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, the U.S. Police forces kind of do that now. So they've taken a page out of old Mulder's book. My favorite bit of Mulder logic is not Mulder logic. It's just him being spooky as fuck and weird as fuck. And it's when Scully is first introducing the case and she says, well, they don't really want you. They don't really want you on it because you make people and he just doesn't get it. He's like, do I make people uncomfortable?
Well, he knows he does.
He's kind of joking. So great.
I know, but it was just like, he's like, but I don't get it. Then he's like, do you think I'm spooky?
Yeah,
and like,
I love
it's
that.
Like, he's just a caricature of himself. And
that's
not really logic, but it's just Mulder being Mulder.
I thought he was just trying to, like, suss out what direction Scully was going to go in with that. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you talking about, Scully? I don't make people uncomfortable. Do I make you uncomfortable with my, like, I don't know.
Outlandish theories.
My crazy theories and, my general behavior. Does this bother you?
Yeah. And he's like just always trying to play it up because, again, and Matt brought this up before, but this was like another Mulder logic point for me was like when he's like, do you think that this is the work of little green men? And he's like, actually, they're gray. And you're like, that's so unnecessary. But he just feels the need to like, he keeps it up, you know what I mean? Like, he really plays out his character of like, people think I'm this way anyways, so I'm just gonna fucking give it to them.
Well, because
give the people what they want.
Scully asks him flat out, or she says flat out, like, I think you were getting, like, one of the times he's defending himself, and when he's talking to Colton about Colton, you know, having a micropene or whatever, and Scully's like, I would say you're getting territorial there, Mulder, and he was like, was I? But it's, like, obvious, it's obvious, but I also really appreciate that they, like, the show is trying to give examples of how serious Mulder is about the things that he does. Mm-hmm. Like, again, when he comes up with these theories, the show is trying to show that he spends a lot of time thinking about it.
Yeah.
And maybe his theories aren't so crazy. He just, like, follows all of the evidence, like, manages to think about things in ways that other people at the FBI don't, and it helps them, like, crack cases and stuff.
Right.
Make people like Colton look fucking idiots.
Yeah, man, he's high level. Mulder's just fucking high level. He's above everybody else's shit. Anyways, what about Scully's debunk?
Are you suggesting that I go before the violent crime section and present a profile declaring that these murders are done by aliens?
I mean, can I just start? Can I fire this up here? Because there's lots of things
by
to
all
say.
Means.
But again, keeping with the theme of every episode so far, Scully loves to just say that people are fucking crazy. When she's trying to give a profile of this person, she says, it's obviously somebody with obsessive compulsive disorder. And or when she figures out the fingerprints are the same, she's like, it's a genetic thing. That's why they have the same fingerprints and they're all sociopaths. And that's why it makes sense because, like, genetically, they're just sociopaths and everyone's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So that's just a thing that happens in every episode.
And Mulder's like, but it's the same fingerprint. And she was like, well, genetics. And he's like, but no, the very first day of FBI Academy, they tell you everybody has a unique fingerprint. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And like, she's not wrong. She's like, it's an obsessive compulsive sociopath dude who has above average intelligence.
Genetic mutant.
Mm-hmm. And knows the buildings well. Knows the whatever.
Yeah.
Blueprints of buildings. She's not wrong.
No, she's not wrong. She's not wrong. My favorite Scully debunk is when she thinks she's got caught on something and then she just moves along. And Toombs just fully targets her for murder in that moment and she just doesn't even see it.
Yeah, that's so fucked. Like, that's a hand. It's not just anything.
Yeah, it's not just that. It's just like, oh, it's fine now. It's not fine. It's not fine. It's not going to be fine.
No. You didn't feel like a necklace is around your neck and you're caught on something. And then you're it's like, just, no, I fixed it. And then, but fixing it means that your necklace is gone. Would you not notice that your necklace is gone?
Right.
It's so weird. It's a weird moment. But.
Yeah. No, that's. She's just. I don't know. Sometimes I have questions about her, but
I feel like, I don't know what you were just saying when you were saying like Mulder's so above it. And it kind of made me think like, you know, people who have like a bigger vision, they're often kind of like eccentric. And, you know, if you have like if you know what course you're on and you have these great goals and you know you're working towards, you don't care what people think of you. You don't care about the details because like, you know what direction you're headed in. And I think that's Mulder, right? Like he has this vision. He has this overarching goal, this thing that he's investigating. I think even if it wasn't paranormal, he would still not care that people think he's weird. Like, he's just so singularly dedicated and thoughtful of what he's investigating. And I think that Scully is, in a lot of ways, the opposite. Like, she's so in the details that she doesn't see the bigger picture of what's going on with them. Like, she's like, every incident, she explains with logic. But when you look at them all in conjunction with each other, it's like, this is fucking weird and totally paranormal. And she dismisses that overarching situation of what's happening because she's like, well, genetics, well, fingerprints, were raised improperly.
Like, and I think that is because she cares more about what people think of her and how people perceive what they're doing and how people perceive her work and how she's trying to be credible. And like, whereas Mulder is just like, I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks. And I think that honestly, it is in some way like a male thing. Like you just don't fucking, maybe don't care as much what people think. I don't know. I see myself in Mulder because I feel like I can be, I just don't give a fuck. Like,
because you know what you're working towards.
I don't. But I know that I also mostly, for the most part, don't give a fuck what people think of me. And I'm just myself. And that's, I don't know. If people don't get that, that's okay. And Mulder, I think that's how Mulder is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty apt description of Mulder.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, you know, oh, this is an interesting case. Here are my thoughts on it, just based on the evidence.
I don't care if you think that's weird.
Yeah. Fuck you, Colton. I'll straight up fucking, you want to have a Donnybrook? Like, we'll just fucking go inside and have a Donnybrook, bro. Like,
Donnybrook. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought that was going to happen, though.
That they were going to fight?
That they were going to fight. That,
like,
one part.
That's the thing. It's like Mulder wouldn't even fight. He doesn't even fucking. He's like, yeah, sure. I'll meet you outside. Leaves out the fucking.
just get Irish out there goodbye. Sunflower seeds. Just.
Yeah, I'll meet you outside. You first. The dude walks. Colton walks outside and he just shuts the door and locks it.
He's like,
what an idiot.
Yeah, bye bye.
Totally.
Like, I don't know. In some ways, Mulder is sort of like. He's a more enlightened being than the rest of us because he doesn't give a what.
Yeah, and his mind isn't confined to the limits of what we think is possible and impossible.
And that's because of his experiences, and there's lots that goes into that.
Okay, next segment is Skulderwatch.
In our investigations, you may not always agree with me, but at least you respect the journey.
So one part I notice is they're talking, it's like halfway through the episode and they're talking about whatever, and Mulder just sort of off, like, just without even thinking about it, just grabs her necklace.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what I wrote.
We're all
down.
Thinking
yeah,
it.
The same thing.
We're all thinking it.
Like, I feel like Scully's having a debunk moment, and Mulder is like, well, I don't know, Scully. And he just kind of reaches into her shirt and grabs, like, not into her shirt, but, like, grabs her necklace off the front of her shirt. And it's just, like, pulling and looking at it and stuff, and then lets it go. And I guess I get, you know, the directional choice at the time, because she gets her necklace taken later, but there's definitely...
I know. I saw that as being a Skulder moment as well, but it turns out it was just a device for the larger story.
Yeah.
But it's both, I guess.
I think it's both, because it shows a level of intimacy and that they're comfortable with each other, and, you know, and I think that kind of followed from an earlier moment, which is what we talked about earlier, which is when Scully is... defending Mulder to Colton.
Is this what it takes to climb the ladder, Colton?
All the way to the top.
Then I can't wait till you fall off and land on your ass.
And Mulder's not even there to hear it. She just knows that that's like the right thing to do, and she stands up for him. So, you know, the relationship has really progressed. And as you said, Matt, they're ride or die now. So she's not going to let someone talk shit about
Mulder. I mean, like they're comfortable with each other and they want to protect each other. But at the same time, they want to be cool around each other, because that moment when Mulder gets bile on his hands and he's like, how do I get this off my hand without losing my cool exterior? But it's like... why does he feel like he needs to keep a cool exterior all of a sudden?
Yeah, that's weird. A weird moment of self-consciousness for old Moldy.
Not typical.
It wasn't I'm remembering the conversation they had now, and Mulder's like, you know, you're different from them because you at least respect the journey, and that's why I respect you, is because despite whatever crazy theories come up, you at least respect the process that we all have to go through, and these jokers don't.
Right.
And he's like, but you know what? I understand if you feel the need to go with them, then that's cool. He just sort of walks away, and she was like, for no reason that I can possibly verify, I think that you know more than what you're saying, and I'm gonna go along with you and find out what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a Skulder moment.
Yeah,
even though that necklace part specifically is more of a device for the episode, it's what you're saying. That is also part of that moment when she's like, you know more than you're letting on, and I'm gonna follow you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
What about best special effects? I'll say mine.
Okay.
Stretchy Santa down the chim. It's obviously, you can't see what I'm doing, but it's super weird looking, and I don't really know how they did it, but I think it was pretty well done, and it's creepy as fuck.
His bones are cracking and stuff?
Yeah, that's gross. That was really
gross and weird.
Well played.
Yeah.
Well played. Well played. SFX people.
Sounds like how I get out of bed in the morning, kind of. Just
super creaky.
All my bones is cracking at once.
Oh.
Because I'm getting old.
Did anybody else have any special effects moments?
I don't think there was really anything else besides that.
There was when he's in the vent in Scully's house. And he's just there's one arm and his face just kind of looking weird. But then... he does something where he managed to slingshot his body out of the vent.
Yeah.
And it's
not clear how that happened.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Stretchy Man, that's the main... Everything else, nothing else about this is really that special effects. There's obviously, Scary Nest, but, I could have made that papier-mâché.
Papier-mâché.
Or his yellow eyes, which is really creepy.
Contact lenses.
They turn yellow in front of you, so there is some level of special effects. Don't they go yellow while he's doing something?
I think you're right.
It's really gross and weird, and although I feel like the special effects pick up when they kind of follow up with him in a later episode.
That's in it's two seasons away, though.
Yeah, it's season three or something like that. But
and that episode is called Tombs.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a follow-up on this episode, Squeeze. That's why I said it was like a tube of toothpaste, because he squeezes out of the fucking squeezes into the chimney, squeezes out of it, squeezes out of the fucking fence like a fucking weird ass tube of toothpaste.
Genetic mutant.
But nothing comes out of him like a tube of toothpaste.
Ugh.
Except bile.
He's the toothpaste, and the vent is the tube.
There is bile, okay? The bile is the toothpaste.
Yeah, why does he leak bile? What's the sitch?
Because he's just been eating livers and fucking
filled with bile? Is
Maybe
that
that's where your bile goes.
Yeah.
Oh. My humors are all out of whack. Someone.
Ew.
I'm very bileless.
I need to bleed a bunch.
Yeah.
And then have phlegm. I don't know. Was it phlegm, blood, black bile, green bile?
It was yellow.
Yellow was not one.
No, it's not one, but it is in this.
Yeah. Maybe that's inaccurate, then. Maybe bile is green.
That's how they try to, make people feel a little bit better. They're like, this isn't realistic. It's not the right color of bile.
There was also...
Everyone knows there's only black and green.
One of your humors was also related. It was called, melancholia. depressed. And then there was another one where it was just basically you were just super dried out. Like,
I feel like there's also one that was like dry. The wind. It was like your wind.
That's the one, I think.
Of being dry.
Yeah, it's somehow related to that.
You're super windy on the inside.
Yeah.
Guys, is this from like biology like class?
No, it's from like medieval
doctors
where like you have all these humors and they're supposed to be in the right balance. And when they're out of balance, you would like try to reset them. So that's where bloodletting came from.
Yeah.
Because they thought you had too much blood in relation to your other humors.
So you had to like...
So you would just bleed a bunch. They'd put leeches on you or whatever.
Suck it out.
I'm trying to remember. It was either...
Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
Just like other stuff.
Suck it out.
I can't remember.
Like what other stuff?
It was an old...
You know what I mean.
Like snake venom? If that's what you want to call it. Yeah.
Snake venom. We're going with that.
Ew.
No, it was some like old philosopher or something that referred to it as humors.
Mm-hmm.
And then some weird medieval dude named Galen was like, no, that's not a thing. That's not real.
It's crazy how science changes so much. Wind.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, they come up with a thing and then they're like, actually, the atom can be split into several.
Yeah. Or like.
Your humors aren't real.
And humors aren't real. Except
your sense of.
And.
And Matt's is very healthy.
Funny. Yeah.
So dry. Just like my humors.
Oh my god. Okay. Overall ratings. Who wants to go first?
Maddie?
I give it 4 out of 5 livers.
I actually...
Because he missed one.
He did. And that was my same rating. 4 extracted livers out of 5.
Oh, really? We're on the
same page.
Sorry, Tombs.
Sweet.
In terms of how I love the episode, I'm going to give it 5 nests made of bile, rags, and bones out of 5 nests made of bile, rags, and bones. I think this is my favorite X-Files episode. I love it so much. And it has so many of my most favorite things. Mulder being weird and eating sunflower seeds. Scully getting attacked in her own home.
just so many staples of what makes an X-Files
episode just so delicious.
Like this is your favorite like of all time?
It might be. It really might be. Because I'm really trying to think of one that I like better than that. And it's just so impactful and it scares me. And it's... I don't know. We'll find out. You know what? We'll revisit this because maybe it's not my favorite. Maybe we'll find my favorite.
I think we're going to go on we should check in on this. What is Christina's fave?
Yeah.
We should have a list of your top 5 episodes and where an episode rates on that.
I agree. I think we should keep track of that. I also think we should keep track of the wins for the 30-second recaps because currently we all have a win.
Oh, yeah.
No,
so that's great. Nice.
Maybe we should stop now while we're all equally great.
No.
We'll never stop.
I want to see this through. Come on.
Okay. So wait, what happens now? Do I go up against...
Me.
You. Okay, I go up against you next week.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, that's fun.
Well, until next week.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
We'll see you then.
We'll see you for episode 4.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast,
We Want to Believe, brought to you by Poor's Shoes.
Featuring Matt.
Tune in next week when...
Mulder becomes obsessed with solving a case that closely parallels an encounter he experienced as a child.
Ooh.
In the episode called Conduit.